What's up, people? This is the Take Six podcast. Thank you guys for listening. I'm your host, Hunter Surplus. On today's show, we've got Mr. Callum Wise joining us to talk all things Toronto Raptors. This week was somewhat busy for the Raptors, so we have a little bit to talk about. We're going to start off with a little Siakam, Kuzma, or Tatum talk. Then we're going to get into the Raptors versus Celtics game, the Raptors versus the Portland game, and then how the Milwaukee Bucks have tried to refresh their team in a manner to try to beat the Toronto Raptors and the rest of the Eastern Conference. So before that, just a reminder to go onto Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Give us a rating and review, subscribe, follow us. It'd be fantastic. We really appreciate that kind of stuff. And then go to Instagram and or Twitter. You can find clips of the show there. You can find quotes that we make on both of those and just general information that we like to spew out. We really appreciate all that kind of stuff. And then obviously go to takesix.org, subscribe there, read our blog posts, listen to our podcasts, and share it with your friends and family, and we will be much appreciative. Anyways, that's enough of me. Let's get into it.
Welcome to the Take Six podcast.
All right. We're going to get right into it here. And on the line, we've got Mr. Callum Wise. Callum, how are you doing, big guy?
Doing pretty good. Just studying hard right now. Got midterms.
Yeah, that's
assignments.
That's usually the way it goes around this time. Fortunately, last week was kind of my big week. This week, I'm pretty empty in terms of work, which is very nice. So today on this Raptors podcast, we're going to be doing a couple things. I think we're going to start off with something that has been going around the internets these past, I would say that probably this past week here, as some of these young guys around the league have been either disappointing or kind of playing really well, like we've seen out of Siakam. So I've seen a couple things from a lot of these Instagram pages around town and on Twitter. Who would you rather have, Pascal Siakam, Kyle Kuzma from the Los Angeles Lakers, or Jason Tatum from our rival Boston Celtics? So, Callum, I'm going to ask you this question. We had a little bit of a chat here about this in our little group chat. Who would you take out of these three guys?
See, people might think that it's a real easy call, that we're both going to say Siakam, which I'm kind of leaning towards, but I can't count out Kuzma. Kuzma is so underrated in terms of skillful sophomores that it's insane. I think he's going to be a better player than Tatum because he has performed so well even with less ball handling now that LeBron is there. And Tatum, I mean, the Celtics are a train wreck right now. They just lost again today to the Rockets. I mean, that's amazing. I like that. I hope they're just full tilt into the playoffs and they just get blown out every game. That's my hope. But I like, it's not that hard because Siakam is obviously the choice for me just because I love him so much. It's kind of hard asking me that just because obviously I'm a Raptors fan, but Kuzma has made his case for me to build a team around just because he's so insane in terms of scoring ability, and he's an extremely athletic player, just like all three of them. All three of them are really athletic, and they're all going to be great players, but from what I've seen so far this season, it's definitely been Siakam, and then second place Kuzma, third place Tatum.
So I'm here with you on that. Siakam is probably the best out of the three right now. Where I do have a little bit of an issue, though, with picking Siakam is that he is the oldest of the three. He's 24, mm-hmm. which probably means that his, not necessarily his peak, but like where he can go from here might be a little bit less than a guy like Tatum, who's only 20, well, I guess 21 today. And a guy like Kuzma, who's 23, so still kind of... So 23, 24, Siakam, and then Jason Tatum being 21. I think that the jump that can be made from Tatum and Kuzma. We haven't seen it yet. And so that's kind of where I'm worried about that, is that that jump that those two guys can make might be better than Siakam's. And I don't know if Siakam can get much better than he is now. I'm assuming that he will. I'm assuming from what we've seen in these, you know, in this season, and especially the past 3 or 4 weeks, that he will be able to get better, and he has improved pretty much every game this whole season. So I don't put it past him being able to improve, but the leap has been made. You know, that big leap that you make in your first few years, if you're going to be a really good player, that has to happen. And it hasn't really happened with Kuzma or Tatum yet. Obviously, Tatum played really well last year, and he's still playing just about the same, but he hasn't, like I said, taken that big step that you would like to see from a guy that young and a guy who has all that potential. And the same thing with Kuzma. He hasn't necessarily taken that extra step that you wanted him to see from his overperformance last year. And that's where I'm a little bit concerned. But as of right now, in a vacuum, right now I'm taking Pascal Siakam 9 times out of 10, probably. He's got, just like Tatum has, he's got playoff experience in those few seasons with the Raptors. He's going to get more this year. Presumably, if everything goes as it is right now, the Raptors are going to do better than the Celtics, which is a very important thing for guys like 24, 21, 23 kind of thing. All the numbers really are in Pascal Siakam's favor. He, you know, him and Tatum are almost putting up the same amount of points, but his usage is, you know, a couple percentage points down than both of them. His win shares are higher. Every pretty much advanced stat is in Siakam's favor. Every, you know, normal non-advanced stat is in Siakam's favor outside of points. Gets more assists, gets more rebounds, more steals, more blocks kind of thing. He just does everything on the court. And like Keel, he just texted me, like he said, is that Siakam is pretty much the hardest working guy on the court in any given game. So that's a big factor as well, which means he does work hard in the gym, I'm assuming, after games and practices and all that kind of stuff. And I think that should play a fairly big factor into what it is. So I think it's pretty, I think we both say Siakam, and then Keel says Siakam, and maybe it's because we are the Raptors fans, and maybe there's a little bit of bias there. I don't necessarily watch Kuzma on a night-to-night basis, and I don't watch Tatum on a night-to-night basis. But if I'm looking just at the raw numbers and what, you know, each team that they're on is doing and how they're contributing to a winning effort, I think that Siakam takes the cake there, as the Raptors are, you know, the second best team in the East, one of the best teams in the league. And the Lakers obviously haven't been there, and neither have the Celtics. So I think if you take all that stuff into consideration, you put it all together and there's your answer. But like I said, the age plays a bit of a factor here. They haven't taken the leap that Siakam has, and it's inevitable. They're going to do it. So we'll just see when that comes, if they're going to be able to put up the same numbers that Siakam does.
I mean, just going off of this conversation, I know we're possibly going to talk about the Boston-Toronto game, but that is just a beautiful comparison right there as to why Siakam is better than Tatum. Siakam finished the night with 25 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 10 for 16 for field goals, and 4 for 5 from 3. And Tatum only had 11 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 5 for 10 field goal, and 1 for 3 from 3. Which is just a lot worse than Siakam, obviously. To be fair, the entire game, Boston team played garbage, but Siakam comparing to Tatum is just exponentially higher in a, just when they're facing each other.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. That was it's a very good comparison right there, Kyle. Like, as you saw in that game, Siakam just had a better game, and that's all that, you know, that's what it came, that obviously that's not what it came down to, but Siakam was the best player on the court that night. Obviously they didn't need Kawhi for a whole lot of the night. He only played 25 minutes, but that's because they were up so much, and a big part of that was because of Siakam and how well the bench played. And the bench, like we've said many times, hasn't been performing very well this year, but as Nick Nurse has put Siakam with that bench unit like he did in this Boston game, these guys started to perform. They played against one of the best defenses in the league, and they outperformed them very well. So I think with that, we might as well just get into the Boston Celtics, the game against the Celtics, and talk a little bit more about that. Like we said, the Raptors blew them out. That was a fantastic game. You know, I did not expect that going into it. Unfortunately, I didn't watch it live, so I was getting the notifications, and I did see Twitter blow up on the fact that the Raptors were winning by so much after halftime. And I think that was the big thing. They were down, you know, they were down a couple points in the after the first quarter. I think it was 32-30. And then the second and third quarter is basically where the Raptors totally pulled away. And specifically that second quarter, they won the second quarter 36-13, which is pretty nuts. So, and I think a lot of that started, like I said about the bench, was a lot of that started from that bench unit coming out of the gates really strong and playing a fantastic brand of basketball to start off that second quarter to get that momentum going. And then as soon as the starters came back into the game, it was over from there. What was your biggest takeaway about that from that game, Cal? Like, to me, it didn't feel like a playoff game. I don't know about you.
Oh, not even close. Just because Boston was not in. I mean, right now in general, Boston's not in the right headspace. I don't know what's going on. I think it has something to do with Kyrie's ego, as we've seen before. But like Boston, like they're a great team. I don't care what people say. Boston has the means to be a great team, and they've shown it. They've gone on hot streaks this year where they've just dominated games. But just this game, Toronto was just. It's like how LA versus the Suns should have been last night or today.
Yeah. Well,
you're just asking what my biggest takeaway was.
Yeah.
Just going down the stat lines, this is the most spread out I've ever seen a Raptors score sheet. It's crazy. I'll go down it. 25 points, 21 points, 14, 7, 6, 8, 5, 5, 11, 6, 5, 2, 3. That's every single person on the roster having points, and a lot having like 5, 6, 7, 8 points, which is pretty nice. I mean, obviously we won by 20 points, and that was in large, like you said, because of the bench. The bench played really well, and it showed.
And so, like you said, with everyone having points, everyone also had rebounds as well. Like everyone on the team had a rebound. Which, another thing, a lot of the times...
We've been so bad at rebounding.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and so nobody's numbers totally stand out. Siakam led the game in rebounds with 8, but, you know, Gasol had 5, Jeremy Lin had 6, Lowry and Kawhi both had 6, and then everyone else had 2 or 3 rebounds. They out-rebounded them 45-37, which obviously doesn't look like... Or they didn't even out-rebound the... Didn't even have rebound them, so that was a foolish thing. But at least it was close, and usually when they say, you know, you win games because of rebounds, there's kind of a telling tale here. Usually the Raptors don't get as many rebounds as they did, and they don't have as many contributors to that, to the rebounding. But they had a lot of passes. They had 33 assists. Everything, the ball was moving. The team looked fantastic. The defense was really good, but I think that was more so because Boston really didn't play that well. And when I say they didn't really play that well, like they played horrible. Kyrie Irving only had 7 points. I don't know if you're going to be able to count on that in a 7-game series, which, you know, I don't think you can. But Kyle Lowry also only had 7 points, so maybe that evens out. I don't know. But so like I said, 7-game series. Do you think that this is going to be kind of indicative of how a 7-game series would play out against the Boston Celtics?
No, not at all. Like I said before, Boston is just, they're not they're not themselves right now. They should be a great team, and they did not show it in that game. I feel a 7-game series against them is going to be extremely close, but I mean, if they go on like that, then they're going to get swept by the first team they face. Like it's been a very poor showing by Boston recently, and we thought by the end of the season it'd be Boston would be our biggest threat, and maybe Milwaukee, but now it's more looking like Philly and Milwaukee as opposed to Boston, just because Philly is actually playing pretty well together when we didn't think they would, and Boston is not at all. They've been pretty butt.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's safe to say that they will perform better in the playoffs, and you've heard Kyrie Irving kind of say that a couple times, that, you know, it's the regular season, it doesn't really matter. He's kind of taking the LeBron approach here. It's all right, it's all about the playoffs, and that's kind of what he's saying, and I don't disagree, because that's what this team's expectations were. They weren't like the Raptors of last year, where, oh, if we get the first place, it's a good season. If we get, you know, a top seed in the East, it's a very good season. That's not the case with this Boston team. They played so well last year, and they made it so far with just their young guys, that this season is basically, I don't want to say championship or bust, because they're not the Golden State Warriors, but it was basically make it to the finals or bust. And I don't think they expected Milwaukee to be so good. I don't think they expected Toronto to be so good.
I don't think anyone expected Milwaukee to be that good.
Exactly, right? So my opinion is that they are probably looking around and seeing everyone else that's playing really well, and they lose a couple games here and there, and then they get upset, right? They are, once again, the Boston media is very tough on people, just like the Toronto media is for hockey. The Boston basketball media is very tough, and if you don't do well, there is a lot of negativity that comes out, and I think that is probably feeding into any you know, negative things that are going on in that locker room. And Brad Stevens is, you know, the god, the prophet of the NBA, which I disagree with. I've said this for, you know, since last year. They're bent, like, those young guys are too good for him to get all the credit. But we're not going to talk about that anyways. But I do think if we do play them in a 7-game series, the Raptors get outcoached. Kyrie Irving probably has a few good games. I'm sure Gordon Hayward has a good game or two. Al Horford has a good game or two. And that's going to be where it comes. You know, they have kind of more star power at the top of their lineup than the Raptors do. So that's probably where a 7-game series would get tough for a team like the Raptors, who have, yes, probably the best player in that series, but maybe not the best, you know, top three or four guys, which might be a tough thing for a team like the Raptors to put up against. But like I said, I don't see this team losing. I've said this before on this podcast. I don't see this team losing a 7-game series to the Celtics unless the Celtics have home court advantage, which is looking pretty impossible right now. So I don't see the Raptors losing a series to this team. But once again, we haven't seen them at their best, I don't think, for a while now. And I think recency bias is playing big into this. Celtics have been looking really bad as of late. Like you said, they lost today. I think, you know, they've lost 5 out of their 6 games since the All-Star break, which is bad. That's really bad. Don't get me wrong. But we haven't seen them at their best for a long time. And don't forget, before this stretch of poor play, they were really good still. Because even with their, you know, 5 of 6 losses, they're still 37-24. So obviously they were doing something right at some point. But if they're going to get back to that, I don't know. I really don't know. So I think we'll fly into our next topic here, which was Kawhi Leonard's game winner. That's right, Kawhi Leonard's game winner against the Portland Trail Blazers. And so we'll talk about the game winner here first, and then I'll say why I was disappointed in that game afterwards. But Callum, Kawhi Leonard has had a very bad rap about his late in-game performances, which is wrong, which is just dead wrong because he has performed really well. And
as of late.
But yeah, okay, fair enough. But I still think regardless, he's been very good in the late game scenarios. It's just he hasn't really been that great in terms of maybe the final shot. But so Cal, when it comes down to it, did you think that Kawhi Leonard was going to hit that shot?
Yeah. Yes, I do. I mean, it wasn't like 0 seconds left on the clock. Like he had that extra second left, but he was confident. He took the shot, which is something he didn't do at the beginning of the season, but he has done as of late, like I said, and he showed that he was confident and he hit that shot because he can. That's what Kawhi Leonard does. He hits those shots, and he's finally become more confident here in Toronto with that shot. And that was the first time I've seen him with that much emotion on the Raptor squad. I don't know. Like, did you see that when he hit that shot?
It was fantastic.
His pump and everything. That
was fired up, man.
That made me more happy than the game winner, to be honest.
Yeah. I agree. He was like pretty fantastic in terms of that whole game. He made Skip Bayless really angry, which makes me very happy.
I hate it.
Yes. So when it comes down to whether Kawhi Leonard makes that or not, I think what it is he's got his legs under him. He's got his play kind of refined to what he likes after this after what's it called? His injury, after coming back from his injury and feeling good. I don't know why that was so hard to get out. But I think it's true that at the beginning of the season you kind of saw the same play almost against Detroit, where he comes down, goes down to that baseline and tries to take a mid-range jumper, and instead of corralling the ball and shooting it, he kicks it into the stands. And right? So I think that if you look at the progression that he's made, it is probably the most compelling. Like, obviously, there's a Siakam story, but I think that it is the best and most impressive way to look at how well he's done, because he's come so far. And like you said, with the confidence, I totally agree with that. But I think outside of the confidence, I think his legs are under him. His body is more ready to play in those late minute scenarios, and his mind is there, and he's able to look at it and totally, you know, just play as well as he can. And so I think that that's the best looking thing about that play. Like, obviously it was nice that it went in. Obviously it was nice that he was able to score as he did. But the biggest thing is the fact that he is making the right decision instead of the whole, I'm just going to ISO myself and tire myself out for the first, 18 seconds of the shot clock and try to bury this but miss. I don't know. I like how he is looking. He is, top 15 in the league in points in the fourth quarter. He only really plays 7.5 minutes in the fourth quarter, so like a lot of the time he doesn't need to be out there. His field goal percentage is through the roof in the fourth quarter. He looks fantastic when he's out there. Like, it's shocking that people say that he has been bad, because he really hasn't. Like, he's been clutch for the team, and he's been doing exactly what he needs to do for this Raptors team, and he's leading the league in a lot of clutch scenarios here, including the clutch points, right? Well, I mean, he's not leading the league in clutch points, but he's in points per, clutch scenario. He's there. His field goal percentage in the clutch scenario is there. 3-point percentage in the clutch scenario is there. So I like that he's taking that leap and he's just become more consistent in those end game scenarios like that. And that was an exciting win. But I didn't like how they got to that point, right? Like, they were winning pretty much the entire game. They were controlling it for the most part, and then that fourth quarter came and they just went downhill. So,
but also, okay, I just want to talk about this for a second. But that Damian Lillard call was just, it was unbelievable how bad that call was.
I honestly couldn't believe it. When I first saw it, I saw the shot, but I didn't see the replay for some reason. Whatever happened, I just wasn't able to see the replay. So I was kind of okay with it. I was like, oh man, that's a stupid foul on Lowry. I don't know why he would be so aggressive there. And then I go on Instagram, you know, 15 minutes after the game or whatever it was, and I saw the replay, and I could not believe that it was called a foul, because he was, like, obviously he was close to him,
but he didn't even touch him.
Like, that's a James Harden-esque call.
Yes, that is a what's it called? The calls that LeBron and Harden get.
Superstar call.
Yeah, reputation calls.
Reputation, but Damian Lillard.
Yeah, but he is very well known around the league.
Yeah, yeah, I guess.
Apparently, the ref didn't want him to.
The ref didn't want to get a SoundCloud diss track from Dame Lillard after the game, so he had to make the call there. I guess it was annoying, and the refs were pretty bad throughout the whole back half of that game, but I still think, you know, the Raptors are a good enough team that they should be able to outplay them if they have a lead. But I do think, we've said it before, I do think that it was a Nick Nurse management issue kind of thing, because he let the young guys, and by the young guys, I mean the bench guys, go for way too long in a bad stretch of time in that, you know, late third, team. Early fourth.
Portland
exactly.
Is
they aren't scrubs, man. Yeah.
I think they're fourth in the West, yeah. And that is pretty good to be fourth in the West, because
that West is tough, man.
It's a very tough
that West is tough. And that's all it was, right? Like, it was essentially just the letting them go, right? Letting that bench unit go and letting that bench unit play as much as it did when they were getting beat as bad as they were. I don't know. Obviously, Nick Nurse, you know, presumably knows what he's doing. I probably realizes this game doesn't mean much for the Raptors. So, maybe I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, but it's happening very often, and it's not a good look if you want to, you know, if you want to have a lot of confidence in this team.
Yep.
So we will go on to. We will need to go on to this next topic here. Pau Gasol is bought out by the Spurs. I don't know if he's finalized it yet, but they're finalizing a buyout.
They did. They
finalized it. Okay, so he's getting bought out, and he's on the market, and apparently he is signing with the Milwaukee Bucks. That's what all evidence is. Is going towards is that Pau Gasol is now a member of the Milwaukee Bucks. Do you think that this kind of pushes the needle at all, Cal?
I mean, like, when you hear the name, you're just like, oh, well, damn, they kind of just, because we got Marc Gasol, they're just like, yeah, let's just pick up his brother. But they got Mirotić, man. Like, they don't need Pau Gasol. I don't even know why they went for him, really. It's just like, I don't know, to mess with Marc Gasol's head a little bit. Like, maybe they just did it so they could get into the other Gasol's head just a little bit. You know, he's on the bench just chirping him about stuff that they only know because they're brothers, like just some dumb stuff like that. But, like, I don't see him playing a lot just because they have Mirotić, they have Lopez, who they've been playing a lot, and they've been playing pretty well. And, I mean, why would you want to mess up the synergy that you already have becoming the best team in the league? Like, it's kind of a weird call. Well, we'll have to see how it works. I mean, they haven't finalized it yet, so maybe they're just like, we're leaning towards it, but now they're not going to do it. Like, if they do end up doing it, it's kind of a weird decision to me.
Yeah, it seems like it's just kind of their, they need depth, right? Like you said, they have Mirotić now. Brooke Lopez has been playing really well this year. I don't see him getting a whole lot of minutes. And people forget that Pau Gasol is not very good anymore.
He's people old. Forget that. He's old. Very old.
And, you know, people were pretty happy about this sign. I saw a lot of people on Twitter kind of saying, oh, this is good for the Bucks. Maybe it pushes, you know, push the needle. They're definitely making it to the finals. It's like, I don't know when the last time you watched a Pau Gasol highlight reel was, but everything is from 2012, dude. Like, he isn't really doing much for this team, and he doesn't excite me if I'm a Bucks fan, which I'm not, letting everybody out there know that I'm not. But he doesn't excite me too much. He doesn't scare me. I get what you're saying with the whole kind of maybe messing with Marc Gasol, but once again, like, I don't...
It's a stretch.
It's a stretch. He's going to get played off the court in minutes, probably, if he is out there at all. I don't know. The move doesn't really make sense to me, but aside from really depth for them, but once again, like, come playoff time, I don't think Gasol really plays that much,
mm-hmm.
if at all. So, I don't know, man. I really don't know what they're thinking.
You want to talk a little bit about the Pistons game?
Yeah, we can do that. So, I mean, I wasn't able to watch much of it. I watched the first little bit and then the last bit of the fourth quarter in overtime because I was on my way home on a bus from Guelph. So I didn't see that middle part of the game, but they didn't start off very well. And they ended, that early fourth, late third was a good run. And then the end of the game wasn't very good. So maybe it was just because I was watching that they didn't play very well. but once again, like, the refs were bad. The refs were really bad. And then a big overtime win that they had. What did you see out of that?
I mean, I was the same. I couldn't watch a lot of it just because I've been studying. But I've been watching a lot of highlights and stuff. And obviously, they played well come towards the end of the game. I mean, the first quarter was pretty bad. The second quarter was even. And then third quarter is when the Raptors, like, they showed that their bench could take over. And, like, they were tired. And they scored a bunch of points. Like, they scored 33 to 25. Obviously, it went to OT, so they tied after four. But, like, Siakam had a decent game. 21 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. We had a terrible field goal percentage, 38% compared to 46 on the Detroit Pistons, which is a lot. That is not hitting a lot of shots, which the Raptors have been known to do.
Especially Jeremy Lin, dude. Lin sucks.
Yeah, I was about to say that. He went 0 for 8 and 0 for 5 from 3, which is just so bad. That is... We were just saying that he's looking like the replacement for Van Vliet, and that game just, wow, that was bad. But the one highlight was that Lowry finally just put the team on his back for a little bit. 35-7-5, it's pretty good. 6 for 14, took a lot of threes, Jesus.
Yeah, I think the Raptors' biggest thing was that Kyle Lowry had a great game. Outside of that, they weren't fantastic. But here's my kind of one, like, caveat for this and for the struggles that they've had in games without Kawhi. Maybe this means that their chemistry means a lot more to this team. You know what I mean?
Like that.
Because beforehand, when Kawhi wasn't playing, this team was just running through other teams, like, absolutely dominating everybody mm-hmm. that they were playing. And now that's not the case. Now the Raptors are kind of struggling more without him. And I think that, I'm hoping that it's because, you know, they need Kawhi. That chemistry is there. You can't replace that chemistry. And they're just a worse team without him. I think that's obviously safe to say, but it was fantastic.
Gasol played the majority of the game. He played 38 minutes compared to Ibaka's 20, which is good news. I like to see that they're finally bringing him into full game. I mean, he played pretty bad. He had 8 for 8 free throws, but 2 for 10 from field goal, which is pretty
not fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. But, also, we only had 9 people on the roster. There was only 9 players.
Yeah. Boucher didn't play.
Miller, Lloyd, VanVleet.
And then obviously Kawhi with his load management. I mean, I wasn't impressed.
It's not a terrible game or not a good game. You know, like there's some good takeaways and some bad takeaways. Obviously, we lost. We could have gained ground on Milwaukee because they also lost.
Yeah.
But I mean, everyone lost in the top 5. I just saw that. Everyone in the top 5 lost their game. So the standings didn't move.
So right now, like
throwaway game, pretty much.
Exactly. So right now, the Raptors, they wouldn't be playing Detroit right now, but Detroit's kind of been flip-flopping between 8, 7, 6, 9 the past couple weeks. Do you like that matchup for the Raptors in a first-round series?
I think if we face them first round, that's 4 or 5 games. I don't think they're a threat at all. I think Blake Griffin could go off for a game, but he's kind of washed up. Like he gets these great games, but like, oh, Blake Griffin's back, and then he just doesn't do anything for like 10 games, and people don't pay mind to that. They're just like waiting for his next good game, and then saying that he's a great player again, he scored 50 points this season, which is pretty amazing. But just having that injury-prone player on your team is not who you want to center your team around.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough matchup only because, you know, the Pistons play hard and we've had a little bit of trouble against the Pistons this year, so it might be a little bit more of a...
there's also the Dwayne Casey factor.
Exactly.
He obviously wants to destroy us.
Exactly. So I would like to see this matchup. I think I would like to see a matchup against the Brooklyn Nets instead, because I think it would be a lot more fun. It'd be a better series. But yeah, I really don't think that these guys are scary, and they're a 500 team. They win 50% of their games.
Yep.
Majority of them are probably against not 500 teams, like teams that are below 500. So, I mean, once they play a team like the Raptors, who are really good and will be really good in the playoffs, it's not scary. Maybe they get one game at home. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe. But I don't really see any of the teams that are kind of floating between 6, 7, 8, you know, depending where the Raptors.
I think Brooklyn could take a couple games off us.
Yeah, maybe.
They've been a really underdog team.
They get
season.
Hot. They hit a lot of threes. They play some good basketball. I would really like that series. I've been saying that since the beginning. I would love to watch the Raptors play the Brooklyn Nets. It'd be the most entertaining series in the first round, probably, unless the Lakers play the Nuggets. Mm-hmm. I think that's it. So, all right. I think that'll be it for today's show, Callum. If you guys want to follow us on Twitter and Instagram, please do so by going to Twitter and Instagram and searching up Take Six or Take Six Podcast, and we'll be there. Go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Take Six. Give us a rating or review. Go to our website, takesix.org, and subscribe there as well. You'll get a couple emails when we post new stuff, and it will be much appreciated. And thank you guys for listening. Callum Wise, it was a fantastic time talking with you. Good luck on your midterms and such.
You too, pal.
Thank you, my man.